Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I am your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I'm very excited about our show today. I have Bernadette Doyle with me. And Bernadette's entrepreneurial journey began at the age of 26, where she was successfully trading her time for money and found herself overwhelmed and constantly hustling despite how successful she was. After the birth of her first son, Bernadette found that her own success had become an anchor. As the demands of her time grew, suddenly she needed a team and to house and to manage that team. Her previous business model was simply unsustainable. Switching to an online model by packaging her expertise into products and online programs and connecting with customers by teleconference and webinar, she doubled her income. By 2008, Bernadette had generated $1 million in online sales and even masterminded personally with Richard Branson. It is my pleasure today to welcome Bernadette to our show.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here with you.
Yes, I am very excited, and I am excited to hear about your time with Richard Branson as well. That's always interesting for sure. But why don't we start out by just filling in some of the gaps of your bio and tell us a little bit more about yourself and your journey.
Well, I would say I'm like a born entrepreneurial. So I think I'm probably unemployable. So I knew even before I left school that I would ultimately have my own business. But what I didn't realize until I got into business was how important it is to get the right business model. So my first business was very much trading time for money. I was essentially selling my time and making good money. But the problem was, if I wasn't working with clients, my income dried up. So even simple things like taking a vacation could really impact my revenue. And I was determined to find a new way that I could generate revenue without me physically having to be with clients all the time and constantly reinventing the wheel. So I started out with information products, basically taking the information that I was delivering in my training courses and packaging them into standalone programs. So this will tell you how far back this was. My first program was an audio cassette course. Remember those?
I had those. Yes, I do.
Now, we're both dating ourselves there, Belinda. I think we need to change the subject quickly. That was my first product, and that opened my eyes. But there was still manual labor in it. So when we were using a publish-on-demand model, so that meant when an order came in, we physically had to duplicate the audio cassettes or duplicate the product and send it out. And then around this time, I came across online marketing. And I mean, this is way back like in the early 2000s. And I heard about people who were selling information products online and automatically delivering the product to the customer. I mean, these days we know this as ebooks and instant digital downloads, but no one had heard of it back then.
Correct.
But as soon as I did, I was really hooked. And I was like, that is like the perfect business. Because I could see it was something that I could do from anywhere in the world. I wasn't going to need to be tied to an office. I wasn't going to need to have inventory piled up in my garage. It was I sensed immediately the freedom of it. And I was like, that is the business. I'm going to figure out how to be in that business if it's the last thing I do. So that's how I ended up here.
Wonderful. So tell us a little bit more then about your business today, because you are right. I probably have followed along in that same sort of journey with you. You know, we went from cassettes to then CDs and then digital downloads. And it is a much different space today. So in that success of 2008 versus now taking us forward today, we've got social media. We have all the different courses that you're competing with on Facebook and online space. So how has that affected your business today?
Well, I completely agree. There are so many more potential moving parts today than there might have been a decade ago or even two decades ago. But I think there are certain things in business that are timeless. So the first thing is It's so important to be giving customers what they want. I mean, that's the secret to success in any business, is find out what people want and give it to them. And so there's no getting away from really taking the time to understand who your customers are, what their pain points are, what their challenges are, what their, you know, deepest fears and desires are, and then finding a way to help them achieve those things. And so that was how you did business 100 years ago. That's how you do business a decade ago. It's how you do it today. It's how people will be doing business in 20 years. Now, the technology that we've used to create those connections and have those conversations, that has changed drastically over the years. So now there's things like, there's more potential distraction and complexity. But I think for any entrepreneur, as long as you keep bringing it back to basics and you keep focusing on the simple, keeping it simple, and really focusing on the basics, then I think that you're destined for success.
That's great. So how has the business shaped your lifestyle today then?
Well, I've always intended and set it up so that my business would work around my life rather than the other way around. So I'm a mum of two boys. I'm a single mum. So this morning, my day started with a glamorous job of getting my youngest up and out to school. That's how most of my days start. And then, I'm fitting in my working hours. So today I've had some client meetings. I've had a team meeting. I'm doing this interview with you now. I really enjoy working on the creative side of my business, creating new content. Earlier, I was working on a new marketing campaign. And it really is like fitting in the business around my life rather than the other way around.
Today then, just so we can get a better understanding of exactly what services do you provide or what courses, like the subject matter, or what is it exactly that you're doing to help others?
So I'm helping people to have business success, but in a very time leveraged way. So I'll give you an example for myself, and this also demonstrates what I do for clients. But this week I have 2 hours of client fulfillment. So I have a seven-figure business, and yet the time that I'm actually spending delivering services to clients is just 2 hours. One was a private coaching call that happened earlier today, and the other is a group coaching call that will be happening this week. And because I've restructured and re-engineered my offerings and my programs so that I don't have so much time in the delivery, that's freed up so much more time for the marketing and has enabled me to have a lot more freedom in my business. And so that's first and foremost what I'm doing for clients, is helping them to re-engineer their service businesses and helping them to restructure how they help their clients get results and help their clients get what they want, but do it in a much more time-effective way for the entrepreneur.
Very good. So what I'd like to know now is, what have you identified a couple of your skill sets that you think have really helped you to be successful? Because you've been out at this now for a long time, and I know we pick up different skill sets along the way, but have you identified a couple that you think, gosh, that is what I think I possess that has really helped me be successful?
So I think anybody who's in business has to be able to sell. And you mentioned Richard Branson there, and like, he's a very introverted guy naturally. Like, he's not someone that would strike you when you meet him as being like a natural born salesman. And yet he started his business career in a public phone box outside of his boarding school, where he was phoning business people to try and get them to advertise in his student magazine. And so like, it's selling has been crucial to his business development, not just there, but, you know, over the decades. So first and foremost, I think being able to sell not just products or programs, but to sell ideas. Earlier today, I had a team meeting, and I was aware that I was selling my team on moving forward with an idea, getting their commitment and getting them inspired about something we were doing. So I think that's really important for anybody in business. You need to be comfortable with selling. You need to, and if you're not comfortable, you need to get comfortable. You need to learn that. It's a skill really worth mastering. And then the next one, which I think is really important for success in business, is emotional resilience. You know, the ability to bounce back And funnily enough, I wasn't planning to talk about this, but you mentioned Richard Branson, and I asked him one of the times I met him, you know, what was his secret for bouncing back after a difficult days? And he said, you know, sometimes you might get really upset by things, but you literally just need to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start over. And when he said that, I could see how much he had developed that as a habit. And I know when I started out in business, if I had a bad day, you know, I could have a complete duvet day. I might want to take to my duvet for a week. And as I've progressed in business, I realized there are things now that I really don't bat an eyelid at. But when I was starting out, when I was less experienced, really used to knock me. So I think being able to develop that ability to take things in your stride, and it doesn't mean that you never feel disappointed or, you know, you don't, you know, get challenged by things, but you know that you're bigger than those challenges, that you're able to dig deep and just find a way through and find a way to overcome them. And for me, that's one of the most rewarding things about being in business. I say, you know, we don't grow our businesses grow us. So I'm happy that playing in business gives me the opportunity to constantly refine and develop that skill.
That is great. You just gave so many really great little tips and nuggets. I hope our listeners, I know that when people are listening to a podcast, they are, you know, doing multiple things, and as we all do, and either you're driving or you're getting ready or you're cooking, or like we're doing it. If we're smart, we're doing it alongside things, but it allows for you sometimes to miss some really great nuggets. And I always like to point them out, like, ooh, that was really great. I hope people will go back and say, I'm going to listen to that again, or I better rewind and take note of that. So I just wanted to point that out. I loved that. Thank you for sharing that. And you know, it's really funny because in the last 3 days, and I always feel like this happens, right? I've always taught sales, and at the heart of it all, I love, love, love selling. Like, I love selling, and it always does come back to selling. But people have gotten really away from that. And they've gotten really involved in like your emotional state and your mindset. And there's just been so much talk about it. And all those things are important. But in the last 3 days, I've just had numerous people saying to me, at the end of the day, it's about your ability to sell. And I've always said that. And I just find it interesting, is this suddenly coming back around that people are like, yeah, it's really great to feel good about yourself today and be positive about this and that, because we know that that does play out how we behave and how we act. But at the end of the day, you can also learn to be a really good seller, learn some of those skill sets and learn scripting and practice. And you can get better even as you are improving your personal mindset. Would you agree?
100%. And one of the challenges I give to clients who I help to develop their sales skills is that literally to just go out and have sales conversations. So I'll give them a target. Go and have 6 sales conversations this week, because I know that they do. It's not about whether they make a sale or not. By just getting into the action of having sales conversations, they learn about their customer, they learn about themselves, they get better at explaining what it is they're offering, they get better at overcoming objections. And the bottom line is, do enough sales conversations and making sales becomes inevitable.
You know? That's right.
Because you're constantly getting feedback. And as humans, we're naturally, you know, wired to learn and adapt to feedback. So I've actually given that in coaching programs. There was one coaching program I ran where people had to report every week on how many sales calls they did, because I said, this is the number one metric. If you want to increase the amount of money coming into your business, the number one metric to focus on is how many times you're speaking to potential paying clients. That's it. And don't be worrying about any of the other fancy stuff like Facebook pages or YouTube or Twitter or sales funnels or membership programs, anything like that, until you actually focus on that. So I think we are aligned with that, Belinda.
Oh, that is fantastic. And that was another just huge nugget. I'm so glad I asked that, because I feel like there's been just this such, and I've seen it now, like different cycles of like what's popular or what people are talking about. But man, you just nailed it straight on. If you get in front of people and you practice and you do learn to overcome objections. I get asked that a lot. Like, how do you learn to overcome objections? Well, you start to identify. They're all common. Like, they're common ones. And then you start to see, oh, this is a common objection. So then, A, you learn to what your answer is as a comeback. But at the same time, you learn that I must not be explaining it well enough in my pitch or what I'm talking about, where it constantly is getting this objection or like cover the objection before it occurs, right?
Yeah.
And I think you can learn to start to sort of eliminate some of those objections, but you're never going to learn to eliminate all of them. And the only way you learn to overcome them is by getting them and practice. It's just literally practice.
Absolutely. And if you look at successful people in any field, not just business, but sports people, Olympic athletes, you will look at those people and you can see the amount of hours of practice they've put in. In fact, there was a book a few years ago about, you know, that to achieve mastery in any area, you've had to put in 10,000 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people, because they find selling uncomfortable, they want to find the hacks to avoid it. And there is no avoiding it. Like, I call that creative avoidance, when people want to go and do all of the busy work, like uploading Facebook posts because they feel that they're working on their business, but they're not really. They're avoiding doing the thing that actually would bring them business, which is having sales conversations. So maybe we could be a two-woman mission to get people selling again.
There you go. So what is one of your greatest accomplishments?
I'm going to say two.
Okay.
Because I've got two sons.
Oh, that's awesome.
There's nothing I've ever done in business or in my life that comes close to giving birth to each of my sons. So hands down, those are the best accomplishments. And not just giving birth, but, you know, raising them and seeing them growing into they're very young. They're still 10 and 12, but the young men they're becoming, that matters to me every day.
Absolutely. And those are still those great, they're still at great ages where every day is still interesting to hear their perspective and it's fun. And I think that those are great ages.
Now I can tell you're a saleswoman, because that's a very nice way of saying they're not teenagers yet.
That's exactly a way to say that.
I'm going to enjoy it every minute it lasts.
You know what? That is one advice I give to parents. I see that. I think the sweet spot of life is like around 7 to 11, 12, right? And when I say that, every stage is awesome. But it's like, at that point, like at 6 even, like they can kind of put their shoes on and their coats on and they kind of listen and follow the direction. And they start to have really insightful conversations with you that you can actually really talk about something or get their thoughts on something or get them to think about something. And then that lasts till sort of that, you know, other things start to creep in. And if you can develop that time frame, which a lot of people kind of like, they're just so happy, like, oh, now it's easy and they don't spend as much time, or they let them do stuff on their own so much more. And I just encourage all parents, like, that's the ages to dig in and really have these, gosh, insightful conversations and do interesting and fun things. And because it is easier. And I always say, gosh, this is such a sweet spot if people would recognize it and take such huge advantage of it. Because it is pretty awesome. And then I do think that makes those teenage years so much easier, because you have had that level of communication and kind of working through things with each other. And they'll be more likely to come to you with that instead of if they've been left on their own to play, to do whatever during those really teachable years, they're going to be more inclined to go off on their own when they're in those teenage years.
That is so true. And I've got parents of children who are older than mine. And that's what they've said to me always is, Bernadette, you have to keep the lines of communication open. And as long as you do, navigating those teenage years will be easier.
Absolutely. So talk to us about a challenge or an obstacle that you faced and then how you worked through that.
How long have you got?
We've got a few minutes.
I think if you're in business, I think this is important to recognize, though, for people who go into business for themselves. And so you've turned away from the so-called security of a job, that being in business means saying yes to challenges. That's part of business. Like, it goes with the territory. And that doesn't mean it has to be a struggle all the time, but you do want to get yourself into a mindset where you relish challenges and you see them as opportunities to grow and learn from. Anyway, it's all very well for me to say that, but I had a really big one several years ago. My youngest was 3 at the time, and he was taken ill right before I was about to go to London to lead a 3-day event. And he was so sick that at the time that I should have been on the plane, I was being brought to a hospital in ambulance with him. And that was a real turning point for me in business, because my business was successful and I was at the $1 million level, but I had got into this point where I was kind of like on a hamster wheel and I was running very fast. Mm-hmm. And it was just a long time sitting with him over those few weeks while he was, you know, very sick in hospital. I'm really starting to think about, what is it I really want for my business, and how do I want to show up and serve my clients, and how do I want to structure this? Because almost without me noticing, as my business had become more successful, there'd been more and more demands on my time, like going to a different country to lead a 3-day event. And I was like, how did that happen? Because when I started, I would never leave home. I made sure I did things in my hometown. But it was like the success had just opened up new opportunities and new demands. And I just took that as an opportunity to really redefine my business. And I re-engineered my business. And I made one decision, which was I wasn't going to do events on foreign soil any longer. I was going to just do them in my hometown, which is what I've done since. And when my boys are older, I may well travel again. But that's how it's been. And I changed my business model. I used to use online launches, which are, you know, adrenaline fueled and can be quite stressful. And I just removed those from the equation and moved much more over to automated evergreen marketing, which brings its own challenges, but is definitely an easier business model on my adrenals. So that was probably the biggest challenge I've faced in business.
Wow, that certainly is difficult, and it does cause you to reevaluate. So thank you for sharing that. But I really liked what you said. I think everyone thinks the only way to go is with online launches, and there are many different ways to live in the online space and to be successful.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is the people I know that have more of an evergreen model, an automated model like I do, We're more under the radar, because launches are noisy. And in order to, if you're using the launch model in your business, it necessitates having multiple joint venture partners promote you over a window of time. It means that you've got to be, you know, almost standing on your soapbox on the internet and shouting and getting attention. And so you make a lot of noise over a short period of time, and that may generate business. And yet some of the most successful people I know online are the ones that are just quiet behind the scenes, and they've got automation and systems working them very nicely. They don't need to be on a soapbox.
Wow.
Just saying.
That's great. Great advice. So let's talk about what working from your happy place means to you.
That to me means working from my heart. And it means putting my heart into what I'm doing. And whether that is being with my kids and cooking their evening meal, or whether it's working in my business with clients, or working in my business, you know, solo, it just means that I'm putting 100% of heart into what I do. That to me is working from your happy place.
That is great. So what advice would you give to those, since you've been doing this now pretty much your whole adult life, is what I'm gathering from this conversation, as I have been as well. So I completely understand that. But what advice would you give for those wanting to be entrepreneurs?
I would actually say to do what you love, start by loving what you do. So many people, when they think about starting a business, are always wishing for a different starting place. So they say, well, if only I was older, or if only I was younger, or if only I started 5 years ago, or if only I had gone to college, if only I didn't go to college. Most people deny themselves taking the first step because they're wishing that they were starting in a different place. But the fact is, the path to where you want to be can only start from where you are. There's no other starting point.
Right.
And anybody you admire in business, everybody started somewhere. And most people started out at a disadvantaged place, far more disadvantaged than you. But the key is to take one wholehearted step from where you are and do it with heart and do it with love. And when you do that, the next step opens up and the next step opens up. And before you know it, you've got momentum, and there'll come a point where you look back almost like with awe and wonder and go, holy smokes, how did I end up here? But that's it. That's the journey. And it, you know, any successful entrepreneur I've ever met, like when you really look back and trace their steps, they can have started from very different places, but you'll see that process plays out over and over again.
Great. So in closing, tell us about some exciting things that you're working on. And then, of course, how can our listeners find you or connect with you?
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that. I'll tell you something that I'm really interested in and, you know, just is really just taking a lot of my attention right now is looking at, instead of what is it that you need to do, asking who do you need to become? So I've, over the last 6-12 months with my own clients, I've really been challenging them rather than to figure out what are the steps, what's the blueprint, what's the system to get what you want, is to ask the question, who do you need to become to have what you want? Because what I've experienced is the more you align with that future you, the faster you get results. So that's something that's just really juicing me. And it's things that I've been sharing in my free Facebook group, my Business Smarts with Heart group. And I'd love to connect with your listeners there. That's a great place to come and join me. And I have a coaching program where I'm helping people to step into that bigger version of themselves too.
That's exciting. So let's do those again. So your Facebook group is?
It's Business Smarts with Heart.
Okay.
And that, it honestly is the best place to come and connect with me. And like through that place, then, you know, you'll have the opportunity to learn more about the programs and things that I'm offering.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. All right. Well, Bernadette, thank you so much. This has been awesome. And you've had so many insightful nuggets throughout our interview, and it's been quite delightful.
Thank you, Belinda. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.